بسم الله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم One of the things that people will realize, particularly people who are working on losing weight, is that not every diet plan is the same. And, you know, every person's body is different. Every person's metabolism is different. Their appetite, their desires, what they can handle, what they can cut out, all of these things. And so when a person meets with their personal trainer, then they're going to design a plan, a custom plan for that individual. And the same thing for their exercise regimen, the same thing for their lifestyle, so on and so forth. And the reason for this is because each individual is unique. And the same type of uniqueness actually not only applies to a person's physical makeup, but also applies to a person's spiritual makeup. Every person, in one way, is unique spiritually. In the same way that people have a set amount of risk that's muqaddar for them, in terms of a material sense, there's a set amount of risk that's muqaddar for them in a spiritual sense. In the same way that a person has a certain height, you know, they have a certain spiritual height that they will grow to. In the same way that, you know, no matter how hard a person will work, you know, they might not be able to dunk or be the world's weightlifting champion or, you know, whatever, reach some other amazing Olympian feat. In the same way, the same thing applies to the spiritual realm, right? Not everyone can be a Nabi. And part of this is the fadl that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picks, whomever He wants. Allahu yashtabi man yasha. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hikmah in who and what He gives to who, and He's just in what He judges. So a person who's not necessarily a bodybuilder will not be asked to lift the weight of a bodybuilder. So, you know, we think that, oh, what if I was a Nabi? What if I had that much spiritual, you know, strength that was muqaddar for me? Then those same type of tests would also be required at the same individual, which a person may or may not have been, a person would not have been able to take on to themselves. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ had the most difficult tests of all of mankind. أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَانَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلَ. The people with the most difficult test, the hardest, you know, the most weight to lift, were the Anbiya. And the Prophet ﷺ, obviously, he was the strongest individual human being spiritually, but he also had to carry the weight of humanity till the end of time. So there was a commensurate responsibility that came with that power. Now, if that concept is clear, that people are unique and spiritually unique, then one of the beautiful things that we realize is another dimension of the saying that the ikhtilaf of the scholars or ikhtilaf in the ummah is a rahmah. Because what happens is that when there's a difference of opinion amongst scholars across mashayikh, what it does is it creates diversity. And the advantage of diversity, and all of those different, even though some of those options might not be, in a theoretical sense, the correct opinion, or in a theoretical sense, the optimal opinion, but they're allowed within the deen, right, as a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who didn't make it so stringent that there can only be one particular way. And what that creates is that it creates a diversity of options for people to plug in, depending on their spiritual state. And so that's what I wanted to talk about today. And it really is a mercy, because imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only created one version of Islam, and one interpretation of Islam. What if a person that just didn't jive with them, right? Some people are much more introverted and austere. Some people are much more into social work. Some people are much are crazy about reading Quran. Some people find certain type of lecture style riveting. Some people have a special connection with the people of Medina. And people have different ways to think about issues. And what a person would be forced to only, ascribe to one monolithic thing, which would, create dhiq, or tightness, straitened circumstances spiritually for the individual. So part of the perspicaciousness of the salik and the wisdom of the salik is to understand himself or herself and understand what drives them, understand what the right, quote-unquote, diet, what the quote-unquote, right exercise regimen is from themselves. And what that often involves is finding or realizing that what different avenues of the deen are beneficial to them. And a lot of that is experiential, right? Because no one, just like a person doesn't go and do full blood work and find out how does my mitochondria work and what's my microbiome and it's just experiential. People understand that carbs, when I do terrible with carbs, I eat carbs, I can't put on tons of weight. Whenever I do a strictly no fish, no dairy diet, I feel great. It's just trial and error, and you figure out through what you've eaten. Whenever I eat such and such, I feel really lethargic and bloated. So that's experiential. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives us a lot of different opportunities to experience different things within the deen. And when we experience those different things, we can look back in our life and just note, where did we feel that spiritual benefit? Where did we notice that spiritual benefit? And not necessarily just saying, but go with your feelings, but something that a person experiences, right? And the proof is in the pudding, that when I went for such and such thing, I felt that I made this positive change in my life. This, when I sat with such and such person, I remembered Allah and have a positive effect on my life. So that's important, right? We need to note what those different situations and what those different avenues of benefit are and try to remain connected to those as much as possible. So, for example, it might be for a particular person, they might benefit a lot from, they feel that they benefit a lot from supporting Islamic causes from in the community, whether it's the masajid or startups or charity work or social activism and social institutions and welfare institutions. And so the person who sees that and that much benefit, sometimes they become blinded by that benefit, and then they look at people who are deriving benefit from other places and they look at them critically because they say, oh, you should be doing this because this is the best thing since sliced bread. And so they might see, for example, a person who goes every single year for Umrah. And they say, subhanAllah, you've already went for Umrah once. You're wasting thousands of dollars. That's thousands of dollars that we're begging for to help the children in Yemen. And how can you be so selfish as to go to Umrah every single year? But that's not the way to think about it. The way to think about it is that for those individuals, maybe they don't have the ability to give. Maybe they're more tight-fisted, or maybe it's harder for them to give than this individual. But what they can do is that go to the haram. And when they go to the haram, they experience things that perhaps this person didn't experience. Because if he experienced that, then he might also be going every single year. Right? There's some people who go for Hajj every year. Right, we just did it this morning that when Ibrahim alayhi salam, he sent out the call of what's that called? Adhin fin nasi bil hajj, to call out for Hajj. And he said, Ya Allah, I can call out, but how will it reach the people? He said, you just call, that's your job, and making it reach the people, that's my job. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that reach, whoever answered that call, if they called, answered once, labbaik. Then they'll make one Hajj. And if they answered multiple times, inshallah, they'll make as many Hajj as the times that they responded to that call. So for some people, it's so inherently and deeply embedded in their very destiny, right? It's in their DNA that's how they will benefit. So they should be allowed to benefit. And the same thing applies for example, some people go for the work of Tablighi Jamaat. And there's so much benefit in there. And there's so much good there. And so they feel so much benefit and spiritual benefit. They think that everyone should actually be on that manhaj. And everyone should be on that way. And when they see people doing something else, right, or not on that, then they feel that there's a deficiency of some sort. But that's not the thing. Because that's a great diet for you. That's a great exercise regimen for you. But it might not be the best for the next person. You can, of course, offer it to the other person. You can describe it. You can tell them, hey, you know, I cut out carbs completely and I lost 20 pounds over the last, you know, 2 weeks. You can tell them, but maybe the other person's going to lose weight in a different way. Maybe they're going to spend more time in the gym and running. And they need more caloric intake. So you can present it to other individuals, but don't force it on other individuals. Or don't make the assumption that they're not benefiting from somewhere else. And the same thing happens with the Salafis, right? They think that, you know, very literalist interpretation, and they feel so much benefit in that, you know, and there's a clarity, and there's and they benefit from that clarity, and they want to share it with everyone else. So, but then the problem comes is that when you start, you know, creating this monolithic version of Islam, then people stop being able to benefit in that way, in the way that they would benefit from. Because you take, you know, a tablighi and put him in a Sufi khanqa, he might end up doing nothing. He might actually end up, you know, regressing in his deen. And you take the Sufi and you put him in, you know, in a Salafi madrasa, he might end up regressing in his deen. Right? Each person needs to know what their benefit is. And these benefits come from different type of avenues. They come from different types of amal. They come from different a'mal. So it might be from Quran, it might be from making zikr, it might be from giving sadaqah, it might be for praying the hajjud. And so different people, you know, have different capacities for different things. Some people are just really not the abid type. They're just, it's hard for them to do a lot of ibadah or read a lot of Quran. And maybe they benefit from having good akhlaq with others, right? But so you need to understand your own strengths in terms of amal, number one. Number two, it has to do with venues. So there's certain things, you know, which are universally beneficial. For example, going to the haram. That's a venue that's going to be universally beneficial. Going to the masjid for the 5 times daily prayer. That's going to be universally beneficial. That's like saying that, you know, exercising 30 minutes, you know, it doesn't, like without exception, you know, 30 minutes a day, 3 times a week, you know, taking a walk and having some type of activity in life is good for you. Right? Almost without exception, you can apply that recommendations from whatever the American Heart Association or whoever it is, you know, across the board. Unless that, you know, obviously some extreme circumstance, some person is, you know, heart condition, they can't move. So similarly, I mean, there might be some extreme condition, a person is so sick that they can't go to the masjid. But by and large, for the vast majority of people, that's going to be a place of general benefit. But then there's also more specific avenues for benefit, right? Some people might benefit from a rihla. Some people might benefit from an itikaf gathering. Some people might benefit from going to intensives. Some people might benefit from going on, you know, a medical mission trip for the Rohingya Muslims. Some people might benefit spending this summer with Islamic Relief. You know, there's different avenues, and a person, you know, can taste from the different avenues. But after you've lived enough, you know, far enough, then, you know, a person might say that, I know I want to in my life try and taste everything, which is fine. But you should take note of where the most prominent benefit was. And then that becomes something that you also want to remain very connected with. So we said there's amal, there's venues, and then there's individuals. And this individuals could be in the form of friends. So, you know, sometimes people reminisce that, oh, you know, I used to live in Dallas and I had such an amazing group of friends. They used to always get me to the Fajr, to Masjid al-Fajr. And, you know, those were really good times. Now I can hardly make it once a week. So then, you know, you should know that you should keep in touch with those friends. And sometimes it can be particular individuals. It could be that, you know, people say, I listen to, you know, Sheikh Hamza Yusuf. And, you know, it just really hits my heart. And I listen to Mawlana Tariq Jamil, and it really hits my heart. You know, I listen to Sheikh Hussein Abdul Sattar, it really hits my heart. it doesn't, in some way, as long as they're mainstream, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it doesn't really matter about the individual, but it does make a difference of where you're hearing it from. Because these are like different wells. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates wells from which people drink spiritually. And this is actually a known concept, just come to think about it, in the Sufi tradition. They talk about something called a mashrab. And so people derive spiritual benefit. And it actually goes so far back as different spiritual benefit from different anbiya. So some people are what we call isawi mashrab. They're, they drink from the well of Isa alayhi salam, and some people are Musawi mashrab. And when they drink from that well, those effects also come from those individuals, right? Some people are Ibrahimi. And the most kamil, mashrab is the mashrab of, the Muhammadi mashrab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in the same way that those mashrabs exist, they're mini mashrabs, you could say. Also, they say that there's also a mashrab, a taste, for the ulama of Deoband. That's also a sort of a well that people, it's a certain version, and some people plug into that and they really benefit from that. But not everyone will. I mean, I can think of one particular example. Like when I went to South Africa, I mean, I can think back and I would probably say that was the most amazing year in my entire life. When I went for Dawra Hadith, there was probably no other point in my time in my life where I experienced the type of things perhaps I experienced over there. And so, after I came back, subsequently, with Mashura, there were other people who were also going to study overseas. And so there was one particularly, able student who used to do Shahrul Wiqaya with me. But very mashallah muttaqi, his adab, his fervor, and at one point he actually dropped everything and he left to go and study. And he had initially spent some time in Jordan, and he had this amazing experience there. It was just, the spiritual high that he experienced was, and so much benefit in his ilm, so on and so forth. So he ends up going to South Africa to study. And then I keep up with him. And then, he finished up, but he said, he went in with stars in my eyes. He hears the stories of my stories or stories about Sheikh Hussein. And he was looking for that same type of, experience. And it just didn't happen for him there. What happened in Jordan did not happen to him to him when he was in Johannesburg. And because, perhaps that was not, he might have had to be there because he had to be there at that time, but that wasn't necessarily the well that he drank from. And so when there's individuals that you identify that are the wells that you drink from, you'll get benefit from those individuals, even sometimes when they're not intending some type of benefit. And this happens so many times. When I interact, for example, with Sheikh Hussein, who I feel like almost every interaction I have with him, so I learn more from sort of the intangibles sometimes than even the things that he says. It's like small things. Just to give, for example, like when after, I think it was last week, right, we had the emotional intelligence talk. And after the emotional intelligence talk, right before that, he was thinking that, it's time away from his family. It was probably hard for them. And, if we were here, we would all have met together and come over to, and had food together. So he had someone call and say, where do you guys usually go to eat? And he wanted to arrange for someone to go and pick up food here in Tampa and have it sent over here to our house. And I was like, it's really not many places. We don't have many options that we eat, sort of picky. So that didn't come to fruition. But then, it was sort of a really big lesson for me. And what was the lesson? I mean, he probably didn't intend it in this same depth, but I just noticed about myself that so many times I just rely on the niyyah, that you had the niyyah to do something, it doesn't turn out the way that it should, or it doesn't happen, and then you say, I had the niyyah, I got the swab, so I'm good, mashallah, and just move on to the next thing. But there's a different type of lawza in being able to do the thing itself. And trying to overcome hurdles to make sure that you actually do the thing is also sometimes a sign that you're overcoming a certain type of stinginess that exists within the heart that I didn't see before. So for example, if there's, I intended to give $100 at a particular, gathering, I didn't end up going and say, oh, you know, I had the intention, I already got the sawa for $100. But then you're sort of happy that you didn't have to go and give the $100. So there was a hidden stinginess there. Why were you happy? If a person really wanted to give it, then, you know, they're going to make the time, find out who that organizer is, find out where to send the thing, take the extra effort, and make sure the $100 gets there. So then, you know, it was this, in a very intangible and sort of, you know, just mundane interaction, there's a huge lesson that don't focus on just the niyyah, but try to do what you can and push yourself to do the amal. And there's example after example after example of things like that where you have these, you know, mini interactions, but then because that happens to be the well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained for you, that you benefit from that. And I'll tell you, even when it comes to risk, it works like that. You know, that's why, a person came to Sheikh Hamza Yusuf multiple times because his heart just wasn't in medicine. And he would say, no, you need to keep on doing it. And one time he met him at the haram and he said, no, you need to become a doctor. And he said that basically when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets a path of risk for you, that you need to take that. Because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created as a conduit for you deriving benefit. So the same thing applies. You know, instead of surfing indiscriminately on YouTube and trying to listen to this talk and that talk and, you know, speaker surfing, it becomes very distracting and the benefit dissipates. It's much better to focus on, you know, I sat with Mufti Abdurrahman, I really benefit from him, I'm going to take a course with him. And sit one place, and, you know, Sheikh Hussein, I think he would say it very beautifully, you know, it's like, you know, to find water, you have to, in the desert, you have to find one spot and dig deep. And that's one of the mistakes that many people do. They make very shallow holes in the desert in the spiritual deserts of their life, so they never find water, and they're always just searching. But it takes some time, right? It takes some time, it takes some patience. But if you keep on digging at one place with your amal, with those venues, and with those individuals, the companions, the sohbah, the teachers, then that becomes a powerful method for spiritual progress. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, place in our lives those types of situations and circumstances and individuals that benefit us in drawing closer to Him. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.